You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. It's Q&A time. So if you're in the chat, get your questions in and Sam and I will answer. If you're listening to this on the podcast, Sam and I do these every Friday morning. So you can either drop your questions into the hot topic on site or you can come onto the chat live and we'll answer your questions. Or you can just listen and let us talk about other people's questions and teams. How are you, Sam?
I'm really well, thank you, Ez. How are you?
I'm good. I did go out last night and I'm feeling a little bit... I knew I had this today, so I didn't go too crazy. But you know, I had a couple of beers. I'm feeling a little bit fragile this morning, but otherwise not too bad.
Only you. At least you know highlight of your week, right? Doing these with me on a Friday.
Highlight of my week. Yeah, we didn't do one last week. It was a real.
No, I missed you.
I know. It was a real shame, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was.
Yeah.
It was.
Here we are. Just before we get into it, I just want to talk about So Rare. Oh, I messed up the cameras somehow. Hang on, let me change those.
It might have been me because I did move my laptop.
Yeah,
last minute.
I don't think I can blame you for this. I'm just going to remove them because we're going to talk about it. Yeah, before we get into it, I just want to talk about So Rare. So I did a video last week on the So Rare Academy, who are partnered with Scout this season. It's essentially a way you can build like a five-a-side team with sort of all the cards that are in So Rare, the actual game. And you can enter into what's called the Ignition Mini League and you can win real So Rare cards. If you're not sure what So Rare is, have a watch of the video introduction that I put out. Essentially, they're NFTs. They are kind of on the blockchain. So it means you own one or you know part of a unique set of cards and they're yours to keep and they're worth real money as well. So it's a way of kind of collecting, but you can also compete against others in this kind of five-a-side tournament. It's really good. And the So Rare Academy is excellent because it gives you a kind of a way into the game completely free and kind of teaches you all the rules and basics of it before you get involved properly. So weird seeing us without just black screens with no camera. Don't like it. Let's go back to the intro. There we go. Now we're back. Don't know what happened there. Yeah, so we're getting loads of questions in. Keep them coming. Thanks very much. I've got a couple of questions to kick us off with over on Scout from the Hot Topic. So Green Arrow.
I'd like one of them.
So I wasn't gonna mention it, Sam.
My this week's was tiny, the red, but it was still red. It was because I didn't captain Salah this week. Had I captain Salah, it would have been great.
Who did you captain, Sam?
Harry Kane.
Oh dear.
Well, because I went. That's my rule, isn't it? That my unwritten rule of FPL is if you're at a game, you captain a player you're watching. So I was at Spurs. So it was Kane.
Yeah. Well, Green Arrow asks, is it okay to hold off on bringing in a Spurs asset if I haven't bought one in? Spurs don't seem to be passing the eye test and Kane or Son need to be getting at least one attacking return in each game to justify their price. Very true. I mean, I'm in that boat as well. I'm debating bringing a Spurs player, even though I've seen absolutely nothing really. Maybe a glimpse in the second half of the last game in the Prem to make me think that there's something there. But what do you make of it so far?
I mean, in the second half against Leeds, we were so much better. Like, I mean, we were awful in the first half, dreadful. The second half, so much better. Doesn't mean good, but so much better. And there were moments where both Son and Kane could have and probably should have returned FPL points came particularly, like, literally within 20 seconds of the restart off the woodwork. Son, obviously, off the crossbar. So there were moments where they both could have returned. That said, they're a lot of money. And I think until you are regularly seeing returns from them, then you don't need to kind of panic and destroy the rest of your team to bring them in. There are players that I think you can easily get to without it being too much of an issue. For example, like, I've been talking about him for a few weeks now, but Lucas Moura, I do think is a decent enough option at 6.4. I think he's still 6.4. Obviously got the assist last week. He did look really lively. He's regularly still starting under Conte. So I don't know, resting, I think he could be an all right option. And I think if you want to go with one of the defenders, they could be an all right option for attacking returns. But the reality is, without Romero there, they won't get clean sheets. So it depends on whether you are willing to just take the punt on Reguilón getting attacking returns every week, because I don't think you'll get that many clean sheets from him.
I think when you're describing Spurs assets as all right options, then they're probably not the best options, because you're very biased. But do you, so would you, would you, would you, I mean, I've got this decision to make as well. Would you buy a Spurs player this week?
It's a difficult one, because the results against Burnley. So for example, Kane has returned in every single one of his last six fixtures in the Premier League against Burnley. Like, his record is ridiculous against them. Son's got a decent enough record too. They both, it's hard. I mean, I do think we're seeing glimmers of the best of them again, but we're not seeing that enough, I don't think, yet to warrant the price tag. So I'd be inclined to just wait it out for a week, see what happens. I do think we'll get a bounce this weekend. I do think that we're starting to have a bit more Conte style appearing in our teams. We saw that against Leeds.
Didn't see it last night.
Didn't see it, but then it wasn't a full-strength team last night. It was definitely a random concoction of players that you wouldn't expect to play in the week, at the weekend. And of course, down to 10 men for 60 minutes of that game. So I'd probably be inclined to not. You're going to have to destroy most of your team if you want to bring in Son or Kane this week. There's going to be some bigger sacrifices probably that you've got to make in order to do that. And I'm not sure that it's worth it.
Well, Madeline Tudor in the chat says Enes Moura are ranked of 900th in Europe.
They are, yeah, they're.
And Spurs are 25th. Omar.
Yeah, I don't know why we're 25th, to be honest.
Well, no, me neither. I think that's going to decrease.
We should be 900.
It should swap round based on who you beat
swap
and who you
over,
lose. Yeah,
swap them over.
Omar Biggerson says Moura is wildly inconsistent. Can't really have an asset like that at
Spurs. It's true, but at 6.4 million, is he wildly inconsistent, or is he? He hasn't always had consistency of starts, and I think that's problematic. If he continues to regularly be first choice, then I think we might get some consistency from him. But again, I'm talking about really if you want a differential punt in your team. If you want to go for a cheap differential, then at 6.4, Moura might be a decent option.
CR7 fan says Lucas Moura or Smith Rowe.
Yeah, I'd still go Smith Rowe over Moura, just because I think he's playing in a better team right now. Oh, God, that was painful to say. It was painful. But he's playing in a team that's much more consistent in terms of what they're doing. They're settled into a formation. They know what Arteta expects of them, whereas Spurs are still kind of learning their trade under Conte. So at the moment, I'd go Smith Rowe over Moura.
I'm soundbinding that, Sam. Never no. thought, never.
Don't. No. I'm gonna have to go and lie in a dark room when we finish.
Yeah,
this
that was horrible to hear. I didn't like that. And I'm not even a Spurs or a Arsenal fan.
I mean, it's sent me out in a cold sweat, to be
honest. Mahfaz Mohamed says, should I do Son to Jota?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't know if I'd take Son out. If you had him, I don't think you would take him out ahead of Burnley, would you?
I don't think you can. I think you've kind of made your bed. You've got to line it. I think Jota's a great option, obviously, but Spurs have got Burnley, Brentford, Norwich in the next three. I think you have to rely on Son getting points in
If you've done it, if you've invested, you've got to stay, surely, now.
Yeah. I mean, that is a question that we're getting, a few people are asking, should we be selling our Spurs assets? Because it is a tricky one. Because, I mean, if this was another option, right? If you bought in a player and they'd blanked as many times as Kane, say you've only Kane for like 3 or 4 weeks, you would be looking to sell him on, given that he's expensive. But it's just these fixtures, isn't it? These fixtures are really blinding us to kind of what we see, because we're just hopeful that it's all going to kind of turn around.
Hopeful. That's like being a Spurs fan generally, that is. But yeah.
It's good you've still got the hope, Sam.
It still lingers. I'll always be hopeful. I don't think you can sell them, though, particularly not ahead of the fixtures that Spurs have coming up. And I think, you know, what you do get... It's not like Jota is that consistent either, is it? It's not like he's, you know, hauling at every possible moment and you don't have him, but you do have Son. And I'd give him Burnley. I think that's my plan with Kane. If Kane doesn't do anything against a Burnley side who he always does something against, then I might look next week to make that change. But I don't know. I think I saw enough from them against Leeds that makes me want to give them Burnley. Second half against Leeds.
Yeah. No, I think I agree. I wouldn't be selling Son if I had him. Would I be buying him? I think that's the debate. I think I'd go for... If Jota's fit, I think I'd pick Jota over Son. But I wouldn't be selling Son if I had him. Jacquerie says, what players are good enough to take a -4 for this week? Jota, James, Alonso, Cancelo, Trent, all question marks. Hits, have you taken many hits this season?
One, I think. So the cats decided to get on my lap. I apologise. I don't know how to...
It's a bit of a theme. It's Luke did a video with a cat on his lap, and Focal had his dog as a pillow.
I thought I shut the door, and I clearly didn't. I think. What was the question? I forgot. I've been distracted by the cat.
It's a two-part question. First part, I was just asking about hits in general and how many you've taken. And secondly, do you think there's any players this week who you'd take a hit for?
So last season, I had a. I tried to not take any hits. That was the. Unless I had like a massive injury to a big player, tried to play the season without any hits. And actually what I found by the end of it was a bit of an experiment, really. And by the end of it, I was kind of like, had I taken the hit, there were a few moments where I was like, it's a -4 this week to get this player, but I could just wait it out and do it for free next week. And over the course of the season, I would have been better off had I taken the hit. So this year I'm back taking hits again. Sorry about this. So I'm back taking hits again. But the there's a few game weeks that you look at, particularly over Christmas, where I'm not sure the hits are worth it, because the game weeks come so close together that you can make those moves fairly quickly without there being many price rises probably in between. So it's not like normally if you have a week, there's a good chance that players go up and down in price, and therefore you might be having to think about making those transfers earlier. But going into the Christmas period, because like this game week obviously starts Saturday and then we've got another one on Tuesday, you can probably get around it without taking the hit. But that said, if there's a couple of players that are in real form that you really, really want, then I would take a hit for it.
Yeah, it's a hard question to answer because it's two sides, isn't it? There's who are the players who are worth taking a hit for? Well, I think there are. I think like Cancelo, Trent, James, they're the three that kind of immediately spring to mind. I'm looking around at the midfield and the forward options. There's not really anyone that I think we need to move heaven and earth to get. I mean, Jota's the only one that I don't have. I'm a little bit worried about, but would I take a hit to get him? I'm not really sure. If you've got poor options in your team, though, then it's a different story, because then your hit isn't just getting in a player. It's also getting rid of a problem that you've got in your side. Yeah. So if you're removing someone like a rubbish defender and going up to a James or an Alonso, then the hit's going to pay off, I'd imagine, over the next few weeks. So it's the wing backs for me. The wing backs are worth a hit. If you haven't got Reece James and the only way you can get him is for a hit, I would do it.
Interesting.
There you go.
So I don't have Reece James.
You don't have Reece James and you don't have Alonso.
No, not at the moment. Dear. So at the moment I have, who do I have? I have Cancelo, I have Trent, and I have Rudiger. So they're my three expensive. And then I have Livermore and I have Brandon Williams. So in my head, my plan is I'm waiting for news from Pep on Foden. Because if Foden is injured and isn't going to play this weekend, then I likely will take a hit for Reece James this week, because I'll downgrade Foden to Gallagher and I'll upgrade Brandon Williams this week. But if Foden is fit and available, then I will probably wait and do it in midweek when it's free.
Yeah, I mean, the Foden injury, I mean, we're curious about that. Eddie Case is asking if is Foden fit. We had a few other questions on Foden as well. But, I mean, we're just not sure. That's the we don't know. The team news, we'll know today. The team news is today. Look out for the
Neil
team
will
video.
Tell us.
Yeah, Neil will tell us. Look out for team news with Neil and Joe at 3 p.m. today, and we'll know more on Foden. I mean, he missed out in the Champions League completely, wasn't even in the squad. I mean, he played 59 minutes at the weekend and, you know, didn't seem to aggravate anything. So my
Well, but he said it was a knock, didn't he? A knock against Everton. And it's like, I don't know.
My feeling is that he'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. But I don't know. This is Pep.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far to trust. Just hope he comes out and says one way or another. What will be annoying is if he says it's going to be a late decision, because then it's
what do I
do now?
Yeah, that's the worst. I mean, Jacoby says, is it worth taking a -4 to go Chilwell to Alonso? Again, depends on the rest of your team, but I think so. I'd do it. Chilwell's just going to keep dropping in price. Alonso's going to keep going up in price. Alonso's a great option. He's got loads of games coming up.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I think if you've got a Chilwell, then taking a -4 is probably worth it this week, because, like you say, it's going to drop in price. You're going to be able to get in somebody better. He's not like Chilwell's going to appear next week. Mm. Like, you know, that's the thing with Foden, isn't it? If you take him out, then he could easily play again next week, and then you're annoyed that you're taking him out. So whereas with Chilwell, we think it's a fairly significant injury that's going to keep him out for a while, although Chelsea haven't fully confirmed that yet. So for me, it would be worth a -4 to deal with an injured player that's injured for that long. Then it's worth a -4, yeah, particularly when you're talking about getting in somebody that has got so many routes to points, as Alonso does, and will be almost guaranteed to start without Chilwell there.
Yep, absolutely. Pointless forecast, why is your arrow green as 9K to 12K? Yeah, sorry, I gave myself a green arrow this week. Didn't get a green arrow. I know.
I know.
It's nice, isn't it?
So you give me a red arrow when I've got a green one.
Yeah.
But you give yourself green arrows constantly.
I'm just so used to green arrows, Sam. What can I say? You know, it's...
I mean, if you could lend it to me. What went on with your team last week? Because you captained Salah, right?
I did not.
You didn't?
No.
You did this... Who did you captain?
I went Ronaldo, didn't I, against Watford?
Oh, of course. See, that's why we both got red arrows.
I mean, he got...
Because actually, the rest of my team was fine. It was just the captaincy.
I mean, I had an all right week. I got 70 points overall, yeah, and a small red. I mean, it's in the top 10K, having Reece James on his own isn't enough.
No.
I had Reece James, and after the Chelsea match, went down in rank. Like, it's, you know, double up with Chelsea is so strong. I mean, what do you make of Alonso? I mean, there's a lot of Alonso chat. Ed Startup says DS to Alonso. We had another, Jane Ager says, get Alonso without a hit or James with a hit.
That's a tougher one.
Mm. Do you think Alonso's an option again?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Mm. Because, you know, if Chilwell's injured, then you would expect that Alonso will go back to playing like he did at the beginning of the season when he was particularly good. And arguably didn't really deserve to drop his place. The only issue I have with the Chelsea defence this week is that, one, it's Manchester United. And I know that they are not in a great place right now, but also they do have star players in that team that could easily turn on a little bit of magic and take away the clean sheet. They could, you know, they've got Ronaldo, they've got players that can do that. And the other thing that worries me a little bit is the fact that it's going back to playing in a unit that they haven't played with for a little while. But it's different, isn't it? Playing with Chilwell to playing with Alonso, because Chilwell is a far better defender than Alonso is. So you have those, you just a new learning point, I guess, going back. So maybe there's a little bit of defensive uncertainty just for this week while they get used to each other, and then after that you don't have to worry about it. So because it's a long-term transfer, I would still do it, but I think if it's not for a hit, going for Alonso makes a lot of sense this week in my mind. It's going to be on some set pieces, he's differential as well, so if you're looking to differentiate your team, I'd probably do Alonso over Reece James to save the
-4. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, but you know what I'm like, as I do like a little bit of a...
a little bit of a punch.
But it's the -4. Could Reece James outscore Alonso by 4? Yes, absolutely. But could Alonso also get attacking returns And could they level it out? Yes, absolutely. So why not start with them?
See, my view on it is the opposite. I think Reece James is an absolute must. I think there's no, if you don't have Reece James, I think you've got to move heaven and earth to get him. He's just one of, I think him, Cancelo and Trent, I just don't see how you can not have those three at the moment. They're just too good value, the three
of
them.
They are good value, yeah.
They're getting double-digit returns every week. They've got clean sheets. They're playing amazing while they're attacking. I think if I was debating Reece James or Alonso, I would get Reece James for a hit, without a doubt. I think that to me is an easy one. Alonso's a nice sort of supplementary player. You can switch to four at the back with him. You can look to bring him, but I just don't think there's any debate between him and Reece James at the moment. His form's too good. He's playing too well. He's central to all of Chelsea's attacks at the moment. And we don't really know how Alonso's going to come back into the side. Is he going to come back in on the left wing and be exactly like he was right at the start of the season? Or has the play shifted a bit? Are they now looking to use Reece James more down the right? And he's not going to be as effective on the left. That's the question.
The reality is that Alonso only knows how to play attacking.
Well, that is true.
That's the only game he can play. So he's a bit different to Chilwell from that point of view, because obviously Chilwell can sit and defend and he can do that part of the game as well. Alonso can't really do that part of the game as well. So I don't know. I suspect that we'll see him marauding off down the wing as we used to seeing in the past. It'll be a really interesting game, this one, at the weekend, because
it will. Absolutely.
Do you have double Chelsea at the moment defence?
No, I've just got James.
And if you had the double up, would you play them both?
Yes.
Against Manchester United?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. You're looking around at people's benches this week, and the benches feel weak this week. Like, who do you play instead of someone like Rudiger? You can play Antonio away at City. Livramento's got a hard game at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Then you're down to your 4.5. So unless you've got a really, really good bench option, I don't think there's any problem with playing double Chelsea defence. I think it's fine. Zoa says play Antonio or take a hit for Chilwell to Alonso. See, I think that's exactly where a hit is worth it, because not only are you getting in Alonso, who's going to be a good option, you're addressing a problem with Chilwell as well, because you don't want to have him. You're kind of getting it. If you wait a week, I know what you're saying about, you know, it's quite, the deadline's quite close together.
But with an injured player like Chilwell, it's different.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's just that you want to, if it's just that you want to make a change, then don't necessarily. And the fixtures, because presumably if you, over Christmas, if you want to make a change, it's because the fixtures are nice for a longer period of time, as opposed to they're nice for one game week. In most cases, that's going to be the case. So if you've got a team that looks okay for this week, then I would wait and do it when it's free. But with Chilwell being out, looks like quite long term, it makes sense to do it now, because you're only going to lose value in him otherwise.
People are going hit crazy. Angus Chow, should I get Alonso for a -8 this week? Reguilon for a -4, or wait a week and do Alonso next week for a -4?
-8.
A -8.
I wouldn't get Reguilon for a -4.
No.
We will concede. So then you're relying on an attacking return, but really you're relying on more than one attacking return to make that transfer worth doing. And do I see Reguilon getting 2 goals or 2 assists or a goal? I don't think I do. So I wouldn't do a -4 for him. Alonso for a -8.
That seems excessive.
I mean, it also depends on who the other players you're going to take out are, because could you be taking out a player that, so for me to bring in one of the other Chelsea defenders this week, I will have to take out somebody like Foden, which I'm not convinced I want to do unless he's not fit, because I like owning Foden and he's been good. So, depends on what you're going to do to the rest of your team as well to take that -8. But I don't like the idea of a -8, I've got to be honest.
I don't like the idea of a -8 at all. I think you can get a bit overexcited. I think everyone's getting a little bit overexcited about
Alonso chaos.
Yeah, absolutely. Blake Young's in the chat. So Blake sent me a message. He was watching Black Box the other night and sort of tinkering away on his phone, trying to build like a team. I want to get this player in, this player in, this player in. Managed to double tap his screen somehow and confirm the transfers. Took out Chilwell, Livramento, Smith Rowe, Son, and Tony. Bought in Trent, Reguilon, Jota, Bowen, and King. None of which are bad options. But on the subject of hits, that's 16 points in hits he's taken. Son out.
Gosh.
I know.
It's one of those 16 to take out Son.
It's one of those ones that makes you wince.
Oh, I feel a little bit sick.
Yeah.
I presume he's used his wild card already, so he can't fix it either.
Yeah, not good. Free hit? I don't know, 16
Yeah,
points.
But even with a free...
I think they're decent moves. Like, I prefer...
They're not bad transfers. No, not at all. It's just, would you want to... Oh,
I definitely prefer the second list of players to the first list. It's just, that is a lot to do in one. I guess it's like ripping off a band-aid. Just, why wait over weeks and do it for free? Just do it all in one and see how it's... I mean, if that comes off, Blake, we're going to have to... You have to be on the Scoutcast, you know, featured on the Rough with the Smooth, because that'd be a hell of a...
Well, it's either really rough or really smooth, so he's on there anyway, isn't he?
Yeah,
well,
that's a very good point, actually. Yeah, he's on... Whatever happens, you'll be featured on there. We've had a super chat. Thank you so much. If you... Yeah, we're trying to get through as many questions as we can. If you super chat us in, we will guarantee to answer your question. That's the benefit of it, because it flashes up in big blue writing. So this is from Ready Can Dance. Hi guys, is it a must to go 4 or 5 at the back? Number one at the moment ranked has played only 3 at the back for 8 game weeks and doesn't even have Reece James. Wow, I did not know
See,
that.
See, I'm not number one, but that is what I've been doing.
I was going to say, you're number
3
one.
At the back, and no, I'm definitely not number one. But I have been playing 3 at the back and no Reece James. Not gone that well.
See, I don't think it's a must to be 4 or 5 at the back. I think there's good options, you know, to go 4 or 5. But I think you can go Cancelo, Trent, James, and then Reguilon or Alonso. They're the 5, right? They're the best 5 defenders I think you can have. So if you could have all 5 of those, you have 4 of those, you could have 3 of those. I've got no problem with it.
The thing is that Livramento is such good value. So I have played 4 at the back and played Livramento in that 4th spot. And he's such good value, and he's doing... I don't want to play him this week. Hence, I'm 3 at the back this week. But... I think there is scope to not do it. You don't have to do it, particularly if, you know, I've got Kane. That's why I've not done it. Kane needs to return.
That sigh is very telling.
He needs to return, and he needs to fix the broken promises that I think he gave me.
I think the thing that's so great about those wing backs at the moment is just the level of consistency they've got, the floor they've got of the 6 points from the clean sheets, because they're all getting them, and the ceiling that they're getting with the huge returns. I look around at other players, you know, people talking about Gallagher, Smith Rowe. We've had a question on Cornet, for example, Rafinha. All these guys are good options, but I just can't see them hitting as many points as those wing backs, because they're just getting outscored every week by them.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because I do agree with you. The only thing that puts me off, and I said this in a couple of places this week, is that I do like to leave some budget in all the positions, so that when inevitably Ronaldo or Kane or Lukaku starts playing, because at some point over the course of this season, one of the forwards is going to be all right. They must, surely. Then I'm talking about real problems trying to solve how I get budget back up there. So I just like to have some money everywhere. I mean, the forward line at the moment, you could quite happily go really, really, really cheap, put everything in the back. And that's fine, as long as there's a player in the back that you're prepared to sacrifice later on.
Yeah.
Then I don't see a problem with it.
Yep, no, I agree. FPL Jedi Show says, already grouping Reguilon with the likes of James, Cancelo and Trent. Jumping the gun a bit, aren't we? I'm absolutely not grouping Reguilon with those three. No,
no
way.
Those
three are miles clear. But I'm saying, you know, when you're looking, if you're looking at playing 4 or 5 at the back, I think you're then looking at Reguilon and Alonso. And they're not, if you've already got those three, then you need to, then I think Reguilon and Alonso are decent options. And they could, you know, they could match or outscore some of the other 6 million players like Gallagher and Smith Rowe and those guys.
Yeah,
so
they could, yeah.
That's the difference. I'm absolutely not. James, I mean, Chilwell was in that bracket as well. James and Chilwell, Cancelo and Trent are league clear of pretty much anyone other than Salah at the moment. They're just the best options. William Chu, 7107, thank you for the super chat. Antonio to Benteke. Or Josh King. We haven't talked about those two yet. Good question.
I like both of them.
Yeah. Jimenez to Kane, Saka to Jota, Laporte to Alonso. Which two to
prioritise? I don't think you can go Jimenez to Kane when Jimenez has got the fixtures that he has in the next 2 weeks.
You can't do Saka to Jota with Saka at home to Newcastle. I wouldn't do that either.
See, I don't know. I'm a bit... Saka's not exactly been banging in the FPL point. So I don't think you could do Smith Rowe to Jota. But would I do Saka? Maybe I might, just because longer term...
You've got to give him... Surely you wait a week, though, and you do it next week when he's got
probably,
United.
Yeah, I mean, you probably do, yes.
I wouldn't be selling any Arsenal assets before Newcastle at home.
Eddie Howe?
Yeah, well, to attack, he's too attacking.
Well, he will attack, yeah. He will give the Arsenal player space, that is for sure. And defensively, they are awful, Newcastle. He won't be able to fix that.
What about Benteke and Josh King then?
I really like both of them. Yeah. So, you know, actually, and the underlying stats from Josh King are ridiculous. Like when I was looking at him over the last 4 weeks, like top four expected goal involvement. So I was like,
he's second.
Where's that come from?
He's second to Benteke.
Yeah, it's insane. Like it is insane where these two have come from. Both of them nice options. You know, I think Benteke's got a harder fixture this week in terms of... obviously, it's Aston Villa who defensively can be good when they want to be. And Gerrard will surely have been working on that. He's a very good defensive manager, as we saw when he was up north. So I think it's a slightly more tricky one this week. But I like both of them. They're both really nice, cheap enablers. Josh King, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but in pre-season, I was talking a lot about how I thought Josh King was going to be really good this year. And then he got injured and I took him out of my team. And he's played like every game since Ranieri's taken over. So he's obviously got the faith and the trust of the manager. Why not? I like them both. If I had to choose... I'd find it hard because actually I like Benteke because I like Palace as a team better, but I like Josh King as an individual more than I like Benteke, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because
Benteke
is playing in a better team, I'd probably go for him.
sounds...
But I find it really hard to choose. I like them both.
He sounds so confident. I think I'd go for Benteke.
Just the Crystal Palace are better than Watford. Yeah. That's probably why.
The one thing with Josh King is I would be absolutely amazed if Josh King didn't take penalties after Sars' abysmal performance in those. So I think King's going to be on pens going forward. He's got a good record at penalties.
Yes.
As well. And, you know, he is like... Benteke's playing like maybe the best I've ever seen him play. Like going back to his, you know, his days at Villa when he was unplayable at times. He's lost a lot of that over the last few seasons, but he's got that confidence and that swag back.
The Vieira effect.
And I'm looking at him as a Tony replacement, going forward. Yeah, I'm going to give my two Brentford boys the Everton match. Who are
double up.
I know. I'm not too confident, but Everton are statistically the worst defensive team in the league over the last four at the moment. Yeah, you've got to think that Brentford are going to get something from that. And then the fixtures turn tough, so I've got to get rid of one of them. So I think it's going to be Tony to Benteke. But, I mean, that you told me I'd be doing that move about 6 weeks ago. I'd be saying you're absolutely crazy. But that's just how the season sort of turns around. So Anthony Molly says Tony to King, for example. I wouldn't do it this...
You've got to leave him for Everton. You can't take out your Brentford boys for Everton.
No. Okay, final question before we head off then, and a big one that we haven't really touched on. Nuclear Atoms, our mod in the chat. Hi, Nuclear. Do we know anything about Ragnick, the new United manager? So this is... I'm going to ask you a Q&A. So I should play a super chat for this, put my pounds in.
It's not official yet, though, is it?
It's not official, but the Athletic have said it, and it's pretty much done, I imagine. I didn't know too much about him going into this. I'm not going to claim that I know loads. All I know is that he's pretty much kind of credited with inventing gegenpress, which now so many, you know, managers use, and this high press, high intensity style of football. He won a trophy with Schalke and finished second with them, I believe, when no one gave them a chance. He then took over Red Bull Leipzig and turned them into one of the most attacking teams in Europe. He's kind of a bit like Bielsa, you know, he's kind of revered around the world for, you know, kind of his tactics and the way he gets his players playing. He's a bit like that. There's loads of his influence is quite big. So it's a really big appointment for United. I guess the question is, what are we expecting to happen at Man U? I mean, you think pressing, high pressing style, you don't immediately think Cristiano Ronaldo, do you?
No, you don't. You definitely don't. It's difficult, this, isn't it? Because I actually think it's a good appointment. I do. I think they've done the right thing in many ways, because they've got a manager who said, I won't take an interim job, and suddenly convinced him to take an interim job because of what he's been promised at the back end of this, in this kind of consultancy role that we're expecting him to have.
It's a really interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the board at Manchester United, I normally can't understand a word of what they're doing. Like, it often feels baffling to me. But this time around, you can see why they've done what they've done. And they're obviously in a place where they can't get the managers that they want, any of them, either of them, because it seems like they want Poch or they want Ten Hag, and they can't get either of them right now. So by giving themselves till the end of the season, they've given themselves a good manager who will improve things, and he will get them playing. They're going to have to play with a higher tempo. They're going to have to play with more energy. They're going to have to be fitter than they currently are. It doesn't necessarily scream Ronaldo to me. No, I agree with you, but he's Ronaldo at the end of the day. He's going to end up in the box all the time, because that's where he is now. And if the rest of the Manchester United team are going to play with more pace and are going to be pressing, then that can only improve him, surely.
He's not going to bench him, is he? Like, realistically.
No, we can't. If you've got Ronaldo in your team, you play it. You have to play it.
I think Colm Bugler says in the chat, would it make Cavani a better asset? I mean, Cavani seems an exact,
I think it will,
player
yes.
to suit this style. So I think we might see more of Cavani and Ronaldo up top together, which again suits Ronaldo, because he likes playing with a strike partner up front.
Yep.
So my question to you, Sam, and I'll pay my couple of pounds to you after the stream.
You can buy me a drink.
I'll buy you a drink, yep. No, don't mention drinks. Is what do I do with Ronaldo? I've got him in my team. I was going to sell him for Kane. I don't really want him anymore. But should I do it anyway?
I don't think you can sell Ronaldo.
I know that
that sounds a ridiculous thing to say, because how awful Manchester United have been of late. But they have changed the manager. Well, even with Carrick, they weren't exactly convincing in midweek either. But with the fixtures the way that they are from, is it game week 15, I think, for Manchester United, the fixtures are really nice. We're only two game weeks away from that now. Like, I don't think you can sell Ronaldo there now. I think if you're in, you're in. You stay. You have to hold him now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just the three. United's next three are Chelsea away, Arsenal at home, Palace at home. Spurs' next three are Burnley, Brentford and Norwich. Both teams are as bad as each other at the moment.
This is true.
But Spurs have better fixtures.
Also true. The question is, I guess, are you going to... It's hard with Ronaldo, because I'm not seeing enough from Kane. Like, if it wasn't Ronaldo, forget Ronaldo for a minute, would you bring Kane in for anyone else this week? Like, is Kane that inspiring at the moment?
No, not really. It's just this hit and hope, isn't it? It's just hoping that they turn up in these matches. I mean, Burnley away is a good match for anyone.
And he, like I said at the beginning, he has returned in every one of the last six. And Hang on. I had a stat on this as well. Let me find it. It's in my book, which is next to me.
Well, now you're trying to talk me into selling Ronaldo. You just said I should keep him.
Right. So Kane in the last six against Burnley in the Premier League, 7 goals, 3 assists, 8 bonus points, averages 7.1 points per match. Now, it is a different Kane, obviously, to any of those matches that we've seen over the last three seasons. So it's not like we've got Kane of old that we're talking about. We are talking about quite a different beast right now, but there has been more fire in his belly in the last couple of weeks. Even in the conference, there was at least effort from Kane, right? Where there wasn't from a lot of the others, but there was effort from Kane. So I don't know. I'm not convinced that you won't want to reverse that transfer 2 weeks down the line. And if you're going to reverse the transfer 2 weeks down the line, then is it really worth it?
Yeah, oh, I don't know. It's Nuclear says you're with Ronaldo. As didn't expect you to do those rookie moves since you were so experienced. Yeah, I know it wasn't my best move. Kane just didn't feel right, and I wanted to go against Salah for the captains, which also didn't work. So yeah, it was a bit of a difficult. I mean, the thing with those stats, I don't normally put too much stock in those stats. You know, good record, blah blah blah. But Burnley are the one team where you can, because it's all been Dyche, right? It's Kane's record against Burnley. It's the same Burnley that it was, you know, in his game when he played them 6 matches ago. So there probably is something within the style of Burnley, and even though it's evolved a fair bit, it's still the same. A lot of the same players, same manager, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. And right, we will call it there. Sam, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for all your loads of questions today. Really good.
Loads.
I think I prefer it this way, doing it a bit more interactive rather than just reading it from the site. So, yeah, we'll be back next week ahead of...
Hopefully with green 14. Arrows.
Yes.
For both of us.
Well, I'll have one either way because I just give myself one, whatever happens, so it's fine. but thanks, everyone, and we will see you soon.